All right, we are in Perek Zion. Shirat Hashem, we are moving. We are moving through the Megillah, and according to our trajectory, we will finish. What's today? Tuesday. So we're not going to learn tomorrow. We're going to learn on Thursday. So Ches. No, Sunday we'll finish. Tes and Yud probably.
Oh, in one day.
And Bezrat Hashem. Okay, Tes and Yud we'll probably do together. Huh? Yud is very important. Nachon. All right. Perek Zion. I want to take one step back. I want to take one step back and do like a little bit of Chazara in order to go weiter. So he said, really we highlighted in last week's, in yesterday's Perek, was the concept that Haman really had a lack of self-awareness in what he was asking for. And there's obviously a lot of Hashgacha Pratis involved here, that he comes specifically at the night, and Achashverosh is looking through the book at night, and he finds him in the court in the middle of the night. And Achashverosh recognizes that something is wrong, and therefore he sets him up to test him to see what his reaction is going to be. Haman clearly falls into the trap, and whatever ends up happening is that Mordechai is taken around the city, and Haman goes back home. And Zeresh says, if you start falling to the Jews, that's it, you're done. So Pasuk Yudalid from yesterday's parak. Odam midabrim imo v'sarisei ha-melech higiu v'yavhilu la-havias Haman el ha-mishteh asher asta Esther. So toch kedei dibur mamish. They're still talking. They're having the conversation about how the day went and how the day didn't go. And toch kedei dibur mamish, these shluchim come and they hasten Haman to make sure that he gets to the second party. Now imagine where Haman's head is at. Haman thought he's going to the second party because he's like this royal schus. And imagine where his head is at right now. I want to point something else out, is that we see this tar throughout the Megillah a lot of Vayavhilu, this Lashon of Bahala, that things are happening fast. And I said in the beginning of our learning, it seems that the entire story of the Megillah really happens kind of like overnight. But as we pointed out, it really spans over 12, 13 years. And there are certain tkufas where there's a long period, and that's in the beginning, the first 3 years of Ahasuerus' kingdom, and then another 4 years until Esther is chosen. But in the 12th year, really things really happen really fast, right? There's the Gzeira, then there's the Gzeira. Mordechai starts the 3 days of fasting. There's the party. There's the day that that Haman gets taken around, and there's the second party, and already Haman is hung on the following day. So really, It's all just within a span of 3 days. So there is this lashon, there is this concept of bahala here, and I think that it's important for us just to pay attention to what role this speed takes. What is the purpose of them rushing him out? As we pointed out, it's like he's going to the, I don't know if he even takes a shower. He runs to the second mishteh. So I think the point of he'll realize that what?
This is Esther's plan.
Sure. But meaning it
the
seems that
the faster it goes, the less time he'll have.
He already, right? Haman Yefemot. Haman has less time to react. Right? Very often you want to be, when you're coming from a place of power, you want to make sure that you are being active and you're not being reactive. Esther throughout this entire tkufa is, and Achashverosh as well, he thinks he's being active because he wants to find out. Esther wants to pressure them, and Haman is being reactive this entire time, and we're going to see how this is really going to be his demise, is the fact that things, he totally loses control. He loses control, he loses the reins. Everything was under his power until now, but now he goes from the palace, he's taken outside, he gets home, he's about to shower, he gets, you know, the people come, vayavhilu la'avias Haman, he doesn't even have time to even think for a second what's going on here, and he doesn't have time to react either. I think that's the nekudah. Yeah.
The girl says that, oh, the medavar, you know, it's that he couldn't take down. Since his wife said, "Oh, you got to come to the Jews," he was gonna take down the gallows.
Right.
So that's why, whatever, the gallows were still up.
Right, the gallows are still up, and we're gonna see how that's important later.
Maybe the girl was also saying, like, "Mean he's gonna take the gallows, and he was gonna give up."
Right.
He wasn't gonna. He was gonna stop trying to kill more.
Right. It could be. Could be. Right, but once again, he doesn't have that chance.
Right.
Yeah, and that's just showing, once again, it's exasperating this idea that he's losing the reins. Yeah.
Is there anything that's weird how, like, by the first party there's no gods next to our comments at the party, and also he's the most, basically the most powerful person in the entire kingdom at,
right,
like, public points. Why these two random guards just hugging him up to come?
Right. So we're gonna speak about these guards. We're gonna speak about these guards.
Gosh, yeah.
We're gonna speak about these guards. Okay, so let's take a look at Perigzayin. Ve'avo hamelech ve'aman lishtos im Esther hamalka. Ve'yomer hamelech la'Esther gam ba'yom hashini be'mishtei ayayin mashi laseich Esther hamalka v'tinasein la'chulma b'kashaseich an chetzi hamalchus v'te'as. So very parallel to the first party. Okay, we're going to read through the next few psukim. I'm not going to translate. Then we're going to look back at the first party and try to see and highlight if there are any differences that you could pay attention to. Vayashav Mordechai, sorry. Vayomer HaMelech LaEsther gam biyom hasheni b'mishtei hayayin mashi laseich Esther hamalka v'tinasin lach u'ma b'kashaseich ad chetzi hamalchus v'te'as. V'tan Esther hamalka v'tomer. אם מצא שיחים בעיניך המלך ואם המלך טוב, תנסין נפשי בשאלה סיב ועמי בבקשה סיב. Okay, we're going to stop there. Those three psukim. Let's take a look back at the last party, right? Where's the last party? In Perek He. Okay, take a look at Perek He. So he says, Pasuk Vav. ויאמר המלך לאסתר במשתה היין. Try to pay attention to the differences. ויאמר המלך לאסתר במשתה היין, מה השאלה שיח ואינה שאין לך, ומה בקשה שיח על חצי המלכוס ותיאס. ותן אסתר ותומר, שאלה שי ובקשה שי, אם מצא שיחים בעיני המלך, ואם על המלך טוב לסייס שאלה שי, ולעשות את בקשה שי. What is glaringly different about these two descriptions? One is...
much quicker, this one here.
It's quicker, what else? Huh? The Ami, well, right, Nachon, there's obviously the Ami thing. Malka. That's one thing that's definitely different, is that in the first description, she's not called Esther Amalka. Over here, she's clearly called Esther Amalka, not once, not twice, she's called Esther Amalka three times. Not only that, but another big difference is if you look at the way that Esther speaks to Ahasuerus in the first party, take a look at the Lashon. She says in Pasuk Gimel, "Vayomer la hamelech." Sorry, what does she say? "Vatomer Esther, im al hamelech tov yavo hamelech v'aman el mishte asher asisi lo." Right? What does she say? She says, "Im al hamelech tov." Right? How is she speaking? In which person? She's speaking in third person. Okay, it's like when the Shana Aleph Rebbe's, like, the Shana Aleph kid's trying to speak to his Rebbe, you know. Does Rebbe, you know, thou. She's speaking in a respectful manner, right? You know, we've all experienced that. No, do I say Rebbe? Do I not? Do I say you? I don't know. Is that a bazaar to say you to the Rebbe? I don't know. You should say thou to me. Okay, thou highness. Okay? But clearly what she's saying over here is she's speaking respectfully. Take a look now at Perek Zion. What does she say? Vatan Esther Hamalka, once again, the Malka. Vatomeri Matsasi Chain Be'einecha. Be'einecha. The Lashon here is different. What is it? It's more direct. She's saying, you, Imatsasi Chain Be'einecha, Hamelech. Vim Alamelech Tov Tinasein Li Nafshi B'Shei Lasiva Amiba Kashasi. She has confidence over here. Not only does she have confidence, but he's calling her Esther Hamalka. What has changed here? I think what has changed here is, once again, Esther's self-belief. She comes in with a different posture. Although Ahasuerus isn't sure about what's going on and is Esther in with Haman, she comes in differently on the second day. She comes in as the queen. And therefore, when she comes in as that queen and she speaks as the queen, she's related to as the queen. And that's going to change the way that she speaks. Yeah.
I don't remember if we learned it here with the Blue West.
Yeah.
But it was mentioned that when it says Esther Amalka versus Hamaka Esther.
That
like what is more respectful, like because we don't, it always refers to Achashverosh as Hamelach Achashverosh, right?
Right, but over here it's
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But I'd love to hear about that. Okay, so let's see what she says. Either way, we pointed out that over here she has more self-confidence, right? So now let's see what she says. Tinase li nafshi b'sheilasi. Give me my soul and my question, my soul va'ami b'bakashasi, and my nation in my bakasha. Now what is Achashverosh thinking? Ami, ameich, who are you? I don't even know who you are. The whole point was according to our Mahalath that he has no interest, but clearly there is an interest. Although he doesn't know, there clearly is an interest.
Maybe once she brings up that someone.
She hasn't said anything yet.
No,
but
he hasn't said. He said something back.
Let's read Pasuk Dalet.
Oh, we didn't do it.
Kinim Karnu. Okay. Kinim Karnu Ani Vami Lahashmid Laharog Ulabed. The Ilula Vadim Ushvachos Nim Karnu Hacherashti Ki Ein Hatzar Shoveh Ben Ezek Hamelech. So what does she say? She says, I was sold. My nation was sold. Not only sold to be slaves. If it would have been slaves, I would have been quiet. I wouldn't have said anything. Why? Because at least that would have benefited the Malchus. It would have benefited something. I obviously wasn't going to be sold into slavery. I wouldn't have made a big stink about it. But it's not. Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami lahashmid laharog ulabed. Right? In the lashon of the message, in the lashon of that second letter that went out. Until now, Achashverosh only thought that it was La'abid. So take a look at his reaction. Vayomer Amalach Achashverosh, as we said so many times. Vayomer LeEsther Amalka, once again, to Esther the Malka. Mi huzev eze hu asher maloli bola asoskein. Who made this plan? What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're saying. No idea what you're talking about. I didn't agree to genocide. I didn't agree to any of this. I would have remembered. This is something which is substantial. I sell people off, la'abed. I sell people to slavery all the time. I don't know what you're talking about, Esther. Vatomer Esther, and Esther exactly, once again, is planned out every single stage. Vatomer Esther, Ish Tsar ve'oyev Haman hara hazeh ve'haman iv'as milifnei hamelech v'amalka. He asks, who is this? So she points to Haman and she says, it's that guy. It's this Rasha Marusha. Now, what is Haman's reaction? Haman's reaction is probably very similar to Achashverosh's reaction. Haman nivat milifnei hamelech ve'hamalka. There are two reactions here. Okay, don't worry about that guy. He's being a Haman. Okay, what is the reaction, Tzadikim? What is the reaction here? There's a reaction, guys. Focus. There's a reaction to the Melech and to the Malka. What's the reaction to the Melech? The reaction to the Melech is, well, this is awkward. I basically said that I was going to kill your wife's nation. The second thing is, what is he embarrassed about in front of Esther? He has no idea, Chavra. He has no idea that Esther's a Jew. You understand? Have we ever thought about that? Have we ever thought about that? Guys, he has no idea that Esther is a Jew. You know who else has no idea that Esther is a Jew? Achashverosh. No one has any idea who's a Jew. So not only is this that this genocide is going to happen, but he is in an awkward place. Is the Jews? He can't even get words out. So awkward. But that's exactly where Esther wanted him. It's exactly where he wanted him so that he couldn't think and react, right? And it's all happening so quickly, right? Yeah.
Does Achashverosh know at this point that Haman wants to wipe out the Jews, or does he just know it's a nation?
So with Pashtus, at this point, according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, he has no idea that we're talking about the Jews, which is a good hara, right?
Is he mad at Mordechai because he didn't die?
Well, he has no idea.
Yeah, but we don't
remember. According to our Mahalach, Achashverosh Mamas has no idea what's going on outside of his room.
Yeah, but
He's in the Kodesh Kadashim. He has new... Right? Haman doesn't like Mordechai, so he doesn't like Jews. He has no idea that Esther is a Jew. Right? And the truth is that your Ha'ara is so strong, because at this point, really, Achashverosh has no idea that we're talking about the Jewish people here. Because he says, Ezehu v'mizehu, like, I don't even know who you're talking about. Right? I don't know who you're talking about. The Hamelech, so let's see now, Haman's reaction is he's totally shell-shocked. He has no idea what to say, no idea what to do. The Hamelech kam b'chamaso mimishte hayayin el ginas habisan. He needs to go and get and have a cigarette. He needs to go outside and take a smoke. This is too much. What is going on? You understand where he's at? So anxious, so paranoid. He has no idea. He thinks until this point that maybe Esther and Haman are having their own relationship. Maybe they're trying to kill me. I have no idea what's going on. Now you're throwing at me that now I'm going to find out where Esther's from. And just when I found out where Esther is from and who she is, and that Chavra point out another thing. Esther is coming to him for the first time, we said. And he was so excited about that. He wanted to embrace that. Now you're going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Haman, finally, after years that I've been fighting for my wife's love, now you're going to tell me that you're going to kill her? You're going to kill her and all of her nation? I don't care who they are. When you're a Meshuggah. There's nothing to do with Jews. Nothing to do with Jews. And that's why I can't wrap my head around the fact, and we'll speak about this a little bit more. I can't wrap my head around the fact that Chazal's Pirush, a little bit, or at least one of the deos in Chazal, is that Achashverosh hated the Jews even more than Haman. Why is that so difficult? So then Esther could have just said, when we're going to see that the Gzeros, so then Achashverosh could have just said, okay, whatever, we'll get rid of the Gzeros. Right? So I'll pater Esther, I'll get rid of the Gzeros, whatever, it doesn't matter.
If you love someone so much, then
he's going to be mevat.
Even though he hated them so much.
I'm not sure.
And you can say his hatred for Haman right now is so much because he's trying to do it again.
It could be. I do want to highlight a midrash over here, which I think is crucial to also understanding the scene of what's going on. Esther, the Gemara Megillah says that Esther smiles at Haman. She smiles at Haman during the feast, and she's like, you know, when the Gemara says smiling, like it's a nice way of saying that she was, you know, she was blushing and she was like showing interest in Haman. And she was showing interest in Haman. And what she was trying to do, so Rashi over there explains that obviously what she was trying to do is she was trying to get Achashverosh jealous. And she and Rashi says that's exactly what she was committing suicide essentially. Her intention was Kasher Avadati Avadati. Right? Kasher Avadati Avadati, meaning like I know what I'm doing, the smiles and the things that I'm doing may very well get me killed. They might get me killed, but at least I'm going to take this Nazi with me. Right? What a crazy thing. Kasher Avadati Avadati. That brings us back to that Ha'ara from Mrs. Erica Brown, is that she's trying to make her life, life something. Make something of her life.
That wouldn't save the Jews, though, would it?
Maybe in her mind it would. Maybe as soon as Haman's, right? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. At first glance, before we know like what the political playing field of how exactly changing laws work, Bipashtus, Haman loses is killed. So then his decree is also maybe not. You know, it's like when a president moves on. So like sometimes.
Right.
Okay. Either way, let's go back to the king. So the king, his reaction, Haman's reaction is he has no idea what to do. He thinks, guys, he just went through. He had a terrible day. He comes in. Esther's smiling at him, and he's like, "Oh, nice, okay." And then he gets this smack in the face. You're a Nazi. You're going to kill my people. And Ahasuerus, just imagine the scene. It's just it's an odd scene. It's also just the three of them. It's just the three of them. V'hamelech chan v'chamazon mishdei yayin al ginas habisan. V'haman amad levakesh al nafsho me'ester hamalka. Ein lecha v'nahafachu gadol mizeh. The mamzer Haman himself, the guy who said that the Jews have to bow down to him, that Haman has to bow down, that Mordechai has to bow down to him. Now who is he bowing down to? He's bowing down to Esther. Levakesh al nafsho me'ester hamalka ki ra'ah ki kalsah lav haram e'is hamelech. He realizes that there's nothing else. I just have to beg for my life. I have to beg for my life. And now this is mamish gewalt. V'hamelech shav meginas habisan. He finished his cigarette. El beis mishta ayayin. He comes back. V'haman nofel al amita asher Esther alel. For this, in order to understand what we're talking about, why is Esther in a mita? Okay, obviously she's not in a mita. She's not in a bed. Persians, right? This is something that we do today by all of our seders. Yoshvin misubim, right? The way that the Persians used to sit is that they would sit in these chairs, in these lazy boys that you'd sit back almost like this, and that's the way that they would eat. So now Haman is basically begging by her legs, you know, by her feet, just please save me. And how could that be understood? V'amelech sham meginas habisan el beis mishteh ayayin. V'aman nofel al amita asher Esther aleh. V'yomer ha-melech, hagam lechboshes ha-malkah imi v'bayis. You're trying to seduce my wife also inside my house? You don't have chutzpah? What a chutzpah? Huh? Lechboshes to conquer my queen. So some of the mepharshim say that you're trying to kill my queen. He's not going to get away with murder inside the palace. The Malka Yimi Babayis. I think that's Pashat that.
But Esther
doesn't. Right. It really makes no sense. Ahasuerus has no idea what's going on. You understand?
But wouldn't it make more sense to say he's trying to kill her?
Why is he? He's trying to kill her because what? Because. You're saying he's trying to kill her so that he could shut her up. He could shut her up, and then he'll never get the full story.
Could be.
Yeah.
Gemara's
a Megillah?
No, oh. This specific Gemara of you have the audacity to come to my wife in my own house.
The Lichboshes Amalka, that's the Gemara's over there, and Yudalad Tezvav, I don't know exactly which Dabim, mm-hmm. the entire section of Megillah is just speaking about the Agadato trying to understand these Gemaras. Either way, I think that you could read it one way or another. Either way, Ahasuerus is not happy with the scene that he sees. Hadavar yatzah mipi ha-melech upnei Haman chafu. Haman is totally lost. Pnei Haman chafu. Also, some of the more modern commentators explain that in Persian history, in Persian Malchus, if you weren't in the good, if you weren't in the good rights with the king, so it's very disrespectful to look at the king directly in his eyes. So they would cover their face, right? So chafu also over here can mean that he covers his face because he can't bring himself to look at the king, right? Vayomer charvona. Echad min asarisim lifnei hamelech. Gam hinei ha'etz asher asa haman l'mordechai, asher diber tov al hamelech, omed bebeis haman, gavoa chamishim ama, vayomer hamelech tlu'u alav. Vayitlu'es haman al ha'etz asher yichin l'mordechai, v'chamas hamelech shachacha. Okay. Who's Charvon? Who's Charvon? It's Daniel, it's Memuchan, it's Eliyahu Hanavi, it's all these people. Okay, I'm going to tell you two different pshatlach that obviously the Midrash suggests both of them, and an idea which I found in this Sefer, unbelievable Sefer, another Sefer which is very Kedai to learn Megillas Esther. It's called Kitvuni Ledoros by a very, very big Talmud Chacham, Zichrono Levracha, Rav Yoshua Bachrach. He has a lot of Svarim on Tanakh, small, nice Svarim. Oh, he brings a lot of Midrashim and nice modern commentary. And essentially, in the Gemara, you have two different approaches to who this Charvona is. Charvona is either a person who was on Haman's side, and so long as Haman was being successful and had power, so he was on Haman's side. How does he know that it's Chamishim Amah? Right? How does he know that it's Chamishim Amah? How does he know that? Right? Right? So Bepashtos also, the way that the Mefarshim try to understand is that this was the same guy, Odam Edabrim, right? Odam Edabrim, they're speaking by this party and Charvona comes in. So Charvona is either at the party and he gets some sort of shlichos, but he's there. He sees the gallows. So either Haman, according to Chazal, Yeah, it's really, really tall. It's like, huge. It's huge. The Gemara says 50 amos. That was one of the pillars from the Beis Hamikdash. Because we know the Beis Hamikdash was partially was wooden. Whatever that means, I don't know what that means. But either way, let's explain two different mahalchim as to who Charvona is. Either Charvona is just one of the Sarisei HaMelech, or Charvona is Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, what do Chazal mean when they say that he's Eliyahu HaNavi? They don't mean that he was Eliyahu HaNavi. What do they mean? What do they mean? They mean that this person, this nobody, essentially does the role of Eliyahu HaNavi. Because in the Megillah, throughout the entire Megillah, you can explain the Megillah in two very different ways, which essentially really are the same. The first way is to understand that there's a political scheme and the way that we've analyzed it and making sense of every single step and every stage, which is true, and it's all true, right? And that's the shita that says Chazal, that says Charvona was just a stam. He was a stam guy. He was a stam guy with Haman. He was a stam. He was in the right place at the right time. He heard them, Oda Midabrim. He hears them. He brings them. And he says, oh, look, there's the gallows. And when Chazal say that he's Eliyahu HaNavi, essentially what they're saying is that this is Yad Hashem. You understand that this guy is Yad Hashem. It's not two shitos in Chazal. It's the same thing. This Charvona is Eliyahu HaNavi. That's really the message of Megillas Esther. The message of Megillas Esther is that although Shem Hashem is not here, Hashem is everywhere. You could look at life and you could look at the world and you could look at the story and just see like a nice political scheme and ups and downs and power fights and power struggles, Haman and Mordechai, different vantage points and motivations. You could also recognize that that is all, right? That is all motivated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all motivated by Eliyahu HaNavi. And therefore, this is Mamish. V'na'afachu, the gallows which Haman prepared for Mordechai are now used for Haman himself, but the story is far from over, right? Chamas Hamelech Shachacha, he cools down, but now he has to process what he just saw. Remember we said the behilus, there's like this haste, everything's so fast. Why does he jump to the conclusion? Chevra, why does he jump to the conclusion so fast to kill Haman? Right? It's also the behilus keneged, if we say that Memuchan is Haman, so then it's also Mida keneged Mida. Because Memuchan said you gotta kill Vashti right away. Right? Gotta get rid of her right away.
Charvona was one of the seven.
Right, maybe Charvona is one of those people also.
It says here, there it's spelled with an aleph, here it's spelled with a hey.
Right.
I mean, so, anything is contrasted here. Did you? Huh? Anything is contrasted here. Yeah, yeah. How, if this party, you went to wind your will off, I mean, again.
Right. Right, Nachon.
And it makes it explicitly clear that you went to wind your will off.
It comes back after a cigarette break. Nachon. Either way, Bezrat Hashem, the story is not over. It's far from over, and we'll Bezrat Hashem pick this up later. Shkoyach.